Good morning and welcome to you from God's house and God's family. Before we get started this morning, I'd like to ask you to think about something. Literally, I'd like to begin by asking you a question that's designed to get you thinking. You see, I want to do a word association test with you. I want to say something and ask you to think deeply about what you're deeply thinking about. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to say a word and I want you to think about what comes into your mind. The word that I want to give you to begin today is delivery. Delivery. What comes into your mind when you think about delivery or delivering? Now, depending on who you are, how old you are, where you are, different things are likely to come into your mind. For some of our older saints, or those of you that have been around for a long time, especially here in the United States, you might be thinking about the old milkman, the milkman delivery system, where and when it used to be that you would have your milk delivered on a daily basis from the delivery man. Now, some of you who aren't as old, you might be thinking about the pizza delivery man or person. Nowadays, it's very common to have pizza delivered to our homes. Or maybe some of you, you moms, you're thinking about delivery. There's only one delivery, and it was when my child was born. For we call that labor and delivery. Maybe you're thinking about the delivery of a child. Or some of our younger ones, again, especially here in the U.S., maybe you're thinking about Amazon Prime and its delivery system. You see, when I say the word delivery, different things come to mind. But on this day, my prayer is that as we focus in and ask the Lord to open up our hearts to better understand the delivery of biblical fruit, I pray that each one of us will be changed, that every one of us, as we focus in today on delivering biblical fruit, I pray that we'll all be changed as we realize, and this is the preview of our time together today, that when it comes to true gospel biblical fruit, there are three aspects of fruit delivery. Delivering biblical fruit that will always be true. Number one, that the delivering of biblical fruit is first and foremost a vertical delivery. It comes down from God into the heart and lives of those that He has rescued. There is a vertical delivery. Second, there's a missional delivery. And thirdly, as you will see, there is an eternal delivery of biblical fruit. Delivering biblical fruit happens vertically, missionally, and eternally. Praise God. And with that said, let me tell you, our timeless truth for today is that if you can't understand the divine delivery truth, you will never in truth deliver the divine. If you can't understand the divine aspect of delivery in biblical fruit, you will never be able yourself to deliver the divine spiritual fruit. I want you to pray with me as we begin and get ready. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 today. And in so doing, I pray, give you and everyone within the sound of my voice the opportunity to grow in an understanding so that we can grow in application of the delivering of biblical fruit. Oh Lord, I come to you now and I ask you on behalf of this people, on behalf of this family, Lord, help us to understand how you first delivered the spiritual, biblical, gospel fruit into the lives of your children. And then, with that understanding, help each of us who are your children to deliver your fruit missionally. And Lord, I pray both those of us that know you as Lord and those who will come to know you as Lord, will, before this day is through, come to understand that where you have delivered and where we get to deliver true biblical spiritual fruit, that it is an eternal truth, an eternal fruit that you have promised. And that is good news. Amen and amen. Well, friends, here again, I want to ask you to prepare this day to meet with the Lord in His Word through the power of His Spirit as His people, and come to realize, as we have already done, that it is the root system of Christ, Christianity, and the church that gives rise to the fruits that grow in and out of this true church. Now, we have, thus far, we've looked in this series entitled Gospel Gardening. We've looked at the roots of Christianity. We're now focusing in on the fruits of Christianity. And before this is done in this series, we'll focus on the boots of Christianity. Let me bring you in and zero in for our time together today, as we are now focused for week number 6 on the fruits. And we have already defined the fruits, and we said to define biblical fruit is to know that it is a miracle every time, that comes from the muscle of the Holy Spirit every time, and where and when that happens to you and me, you become biblical fruit, that you will know a true miraculous metamorphosis. Then we dissected biblical fruit, and we said that when you dissect the true fruit, what you find inside is the truth of God's good seed, which gives rise to good fruit. And if you dissect bad fruit, even though it may look good on the outside, what you'll find is that it is dead. We were told by Jesus that you will know the tree by its fruit, and that if there are those who do not bear good fruit, not only aren't they bringing glory to God, not only aren't they God's real disciples, but He's telling us in John 15 in particular, that those who do not bear fruit will be gathered up like dead branches and thrown into the fire. So we have seen in the defining and in the dissecting of true biblical fruit, what we then did last week was describing biblical fruit, and we saw that where and when the true, living, God-honoring fruit is being produced, it's because the gospel is at work, and those who have received God's grace are working in the gardening process. We are being those Holy Spirit-empowered disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Then we noted it was all by God's grace, and where and when that miracle had been done in the life of the true missionary by the Messiah, we would find the fruit of the miracle. And again, we're going to begin to focus in more clearly on the detailed fruit next week. Today, we're going to focus on the delivering of biblical fruit. I want you to walk with me from literally over 10 years ago. In the middle portion of 2010, I shared a message from 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, and I pray that you will see yet again the timelessness of God's truth, and that whether we are back 2,000 years ago walking with Peter, or 10 years ago walking as the Bridge family, or right here today, that there is a timeless truth associated with the fruit, the true fruit that God has delivered, and that where and when He has delivered that fruit, it is all by His grace, and it's all that you need to bring Him glory. It is literally all that you need. The delivery of God's biblical fruit, the gospel's fruit, is enough. It is all you need to bring Him glory and champion the very grace of our God. His name is Jesus. Let me take you back, and we'll come back together here in just a few minutes. Amen and amen. Let's take a walk into God's Word, and then we'll unpack it in the next few minutes.
God's word says this in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, His glory and goodness, He has given us His very great, magnificent, and precious promises, so that through them, the promises that we have received, we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world that is caused by evil desires. Let's take a look at what God's word says. Let's just start off here where we see His divine power. Peter is making it very clear that if you are a child of God, make no mistake, it has nothing to do with you. I told people here before, and I share this out on the street, the first message that I ever shared at the Bridge, the first sermon that was ever preached at the Bridge was entitled, It's Not About You. So that we could always come back to our roots and say, to be a child of God is to understand that we are the recipients of grace. It is not about our power. It's not about a focus on us. It's not to make us happy. We are here with the purpose of glorifying God. And if you are a child of God, that means that you have received the gift of grace by faith. It is His power. In the Greek, in the original language, the word here that says power, it's where we get our word dynamite. The message here is that this explosive power, the power that only God could have, is what was used to give you. And let's camp here for a minute, because I'm going to share now with you a phrase from this verse that I suspect many of you have never heard before. And those of you that have heard it have never saturated and owned this, because I want to suggest to you that if you had, your life would be different. And I pray that now that you do hear this, that your life will be different. This is not a prosperity preacher trying to pump you up and get you excited with adrenaline. I'm simply going to read to you God's word. The God of creation wants you to hear this if you are a biblical child of God. If you are not, and you simply play church or have a relationship that is not saving, if you say, well, I know about God, but you don't know Him, as we talked about last week, this is not for you. If you are amongst the most intellectual and brightest religious people, if you can quote me chapter and verse, if you've grown up in Sunday school, if you have not acknowledged that you are a sinner in need of a Savior who could not do anything on your own, that it takes this divine power that only God could bring into the equation, and if you have not laid down your life and said, I am a wretched sinner, if it bothers you to hear yourself described that way, you're probably not where you need to be. But if you can say, I'm a wretched sinner who needed a Savior, and thank you, Jesus. Literally, His name is Jesus. People want to throw around the term God. He is God. But if you don't get comfortable with Jesus, you're probably not where you think you are. If you've accepted the fact that He alone could save you, that He intentionally went to the cross for your sins, and it's only through your faith-based, grace-given relationship that you have eternal life, what I'm about to read is not for you. If you have accepted the full truth of the gospel, and let me tell you up front, if you know that term gospel and it doesn't involve repentance, what you have is not the true gospel. His divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. What do you mean by everything, Pastor Jeff? I mean everything. Think about this. People say, well, what does it mean in the Greek? It means everything. It means everything. By God's power, He has given you, as a child of God, everything you need for life and godliness. You don't have to survive when the King of Kings, in His power, has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Oh, if we only realize the treasure trove of truth that backs our life as children of God. If this would come alive, if you really believed that God has given you in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, if you walk with everything you need, everything. Yeah, but what if I live in Alaska? Everything. What if I go into the swamps or the bayou? Everything. What if I'm a businessman? What if I'm unemployed? What if I'm a mom? What if I'm a dad? What if I'm a student? What if I'm fat, skinny, tall, black, white? Everything. Everything has been given to you as a child of God for life. Yeah, but you don't understand how tough it is being a teenager. Everything. You don't know what it's like in our business where we're really feeling the strain of the economy. Everything. My husband left me. My child has passed away. Everything. You can't outdo God's truth. The question is, do we want to survive or do we want to thrive? See, if we want to thrive, then we embrace this truth. And when the devil comes and says, oh, you don't have enough, say, I have everything. Say, not for this circle, I have everything. I have the God of all creation living inside of me, and it's his power through which I live. And he says, I have everything. I don't care what you say. Say, but Pastor Jeff, I feel, I don't care about your feelings. Your feelings are lying to you about the facts. Facts beat feelings every time. You have everything. Now, I live in the real world too, and I fight those feelings just like you do, and none of us are perfect. It's not about chastising us because we're not perfect. This is a promise of love. This is inspiration. This is to let us know that there isn't anything or anybody or any circumstance in any time or any place that should be able to put their thumb on you and put you into a place of depression or despair. You have everything you need to live victoriously, not to survive. You're not just trying to tread water. How well can you live as a beacon of truth and love if all you're trying to do is survive? You have a call on your life as a child of God to rescue people who are stuck trying to survive. There are circumstances and there are tragedies and there are issues that we cannot resolve. But I want to ask you something. Forget for a minute the circumstance you're in. How's your attitude? Can anybody steal your joy? I would suggest to you, if you're a child of God, nobody can take it away. You can give it away, but nobody can take it.
Amen, amen, and amen. Back in 2010, that sermon that I began with, it was entitled Survive or Thrive. And it said, if you understand the true biblical fruit that is delivered by the Holy Spirit, then you are not just given enough to survive, but to thrive, to thrive. And that's what comes vertically from our Lord, is he gives you and me everything we need for every circumstance. And again, don't ever think that there's something in the world or someone in the world or a circumstance in any place that can steal your joy, that can steal your peace, that can take from you that which our Lord has promised to give you. Now again, we can throw it away, we can give it away, but no one can take that away, and that's good news. Now, that's the truth that literally will set you and me free, that the vertical delivery is focused on the grace of God through the gospel of God for the glory of God. When we look at the missional aspect of the delivery of fruit, we first need to know the truth of what has come to us vertically, and then we need to also deliver the truth out missionally. It's the truth and love of God and his gospel that we missionally deliver. And to know this is to also be warned that there's a war going on all around us. And the reason why this is so important is because in the missional delivery of biblical fruit, you are going to be at war, Christian, and you're going to see the liars, the true liars, those wolves in sheep's clothing, those silver-tongued serpents that are out there deceiving. And know this, some of them are going to carry a Bible. Some of them are going to preach from pulpits. Some of them are going to be leading entire churches and denominations away from God. That's why you need to truly understand the delivery of true biblical fruit. Not just its definition, not just its dissection, not just its description, but also how the delivery process has worked, is supposed to work, and how it's counterfeited and perverted. I pray that this focus on the truth of missional delivering of biblical fruit will bless you and build you up. Watch this, and we'll come right back.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our true knowledge of Him. We talked about what it is to truly know God. It has nothing to do with knowledge in the head alone. It's about knowing Him personally in truth, which will require knowledge. But it is not a knowledge-based relationship. It is a faith-based relationship in truth and love. Not those who have the title self-appointed, not those with the dog and pony show, not those with the religious resume, but those whose fruit say, the root attached to that fruit is tied into God, to Jesus the Christ. Why does Peter bring this up again? And why is this the message of 2 Peter overall? This idea that we need true understanding, truth, if you will, is because the world is running rampant with liars and deceivers. There's a camp that will deny Christ entirely and be bold about it. We're not worried about them today. We're talking about those that Peter tells us will work their way in amongst us, the wolves in sheep's clothing, those who will lead God's people astray. I want to show you a clip. A pastor preaching to pastors. There's a man who's got a call on his life to get into the craw of lazy, scared, fearful, and deceiving ministers. I want you to listen because he puts it very clearly. We must, as Peter says, recognize that it's about the true knowledge of God, not religion. It's about understanding Jesus the Christ, understanding what the good news is. The good news is we were dead in our sins and could do nothing about it. Jesus came on purpose, the first missionary, to intentionally die on the cross, to take our sins and offer to us, if we would accept by faith, His grace. He said, I'll substitute my sinless life on the cross that you deserve so that I could extend to you the gift of eternal life, if you will embrace me, if you will believe and receive me as Lord and Savior. Too many churches will not preach and share this truth. If you've been here for a while and you say you're always beating up on these other denominations, here's one that's coming right home to the conservative evangelical Baptist community. That's who this preacher's speaking to. It's true everywhere. The need is very real. Peter tells us we must understand and have a true knowledge of Christ. Listen to this pastor talk to other pastors.
False teachers are God's judgment on people who don't want God, but in the name of religion, plan on getting everything their carnal heart desires. That's why a Joel Osteen is raised up. Those people who sit under him are not victims of him. He is the judgment of God upon them because they want exactly what he wants, and it's not God. And you can line them all up along with him. That's where it is. For ourselves, teachers in accordance to their own desires. So you get a Benny Hinn in there who all he wants to do is tell you you're going to have a Mercedes-Benz. Those people aren't victims. He is God's judgment upon them. They want what he wants. And so they accumulate him to themselves along with all those other teachers because they teach exactly what they want. Do you see that? You boast in the fact that God has children running around all over this country, full of carnality, steeped in sin, doing whatever they want, and God does nothing according to your preaching. But they're saved, bless God. When you preach their funeral, you'll preach them straight into heaven. I've seen it 1,000 times. Remember just a while back, a man in my own town in Illinois who was a known drug addict, drug dealer, fornicator, absolutely everything. And he is there. He passes away. And the pastor of one of the largest Baptist churches in the area, standing there, funeral. That place is loaded with every person that's hardly ever been in church. Drug addicts and everything you can imagine are all there in church to honor their dead friend. And that pastor gets up and he says, I praise God. I know this young man. He sowed a lot of wild oats, but when he was 9 years old, I was there when he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he's in heaven today. And all those lost sinners went straight out into the streets, justified in their sin because of conservative evangelical Baptist preaching. That's typical in almost every church in this country. It's true. It's true. And it's pathetic. It's pathetic. You say, oh, that's mean-spirited. Let me ask you a question. My mother passed away last year. But I remember 3 years ago, and I went to the doctor's office with her because she thought something's not right. And that doctor, very gentle, very noble, he looked at my mother and he says, Miss Washer, he goes, you've got cancer. And he goes, it's radical. It's bad. And we've got to move right now if we're going to have any chance of saving your life. I want you to know that man made my mother cry. He hurt my mom. He ruined her day. We were going to go out to get something to eat. He ruined her week. He tore my mother to pieces. But he tried to save my mother's life. And if he hadn't done that, if he hadn't been so truthful, she'd have had no hope of salvation whatsoever. We'd have had no recourse at all. And he could have been kicked out of his own practice for being immoral. They ought to kick most pastors out of their practice. Because out of cowardice or self-preservation, they will not preach the gospel. That's all there is to it. This job's not for cowards. It may be for wild men and fools, but it's not for cowards. I'm telling you, there's too much at stake. Too much at stake to allow this to happen any longer. And it'd be different if it was happening in churches that denied the deity of Christ or substitutionary atonement. But this stuff goes on every day in men's churches who hold to these truths. But when they get to the gospel, they just seem to lose their minds. This country's not gospel hardened. This country's gospel ignorant because most of the preachers are gospel ignorant. It's just the truth. That salvation is not merely the change of practice. It doesn't even begin there. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not New Year's resolutions. It's not this strong conviction to want to be a different person. None of that. Salvation is a supernatural work of God whereby someone really does become a new creature. Really, that's not poetry. It's not poetry.
It's not poetry. You say, Pastor Jeff, why do you use a guy's video like that? He's so hard. Take you back to when he met with the doctor, with his mom. I take you to God's word. Peter tells us that we must have a true knowledge of him. I share this with you on a fairly regular basis, and I don't pull any punches with you because the world is chock full of churches that are not bringing true knowledge of Christ. He says that he doesn't understand what happens, but so many of these that are responsible for teaching and preaching lose their mind when it comes to the gospel. I think they lose their spine because this is offensive. The truth of God's word is offensive. The reality of the cross is offensive. the requirement on those that are going to truly be children of God to surrender is offensive. Deal with it or die. That is love speaking through the noise of life. Too many people are being led astray. And all you have to do is miss it by a little. You see, I don't have to come and say that whole Bible's garbage. All I have to do is come in here and change the Jesus of the Bible. All I have to do is twist a couple of verses to make it more about your efforts rather than what Jesus did on the cross. And if you take that to heart, you will miss the truth that will set you free. And you will think you are free, and you will live in bondage until you come to the gates of hell. Somebody has to love people enough to shake that tree, to say the things that are offensive in the name of truth and love. Hey, Pastor Jeff, why has that got to be you? Because I've been called to teach and preach God's word. Because I am responsible in part for your soul. I am your under shepherd if you call this place home. And I will have to answer for your preparedness. I will have to answer for whether or not you were pacified with the kind of lies that made you feel good, or if I did my best to share truth and love in a way that might at times offend you, that might at times get a little too close for comfort. You say, hey, we got 18 inches of personal space. Not with me, you don't. I'm an under shepherd. I've been called to get you home. God's word tells us, and if you're a true friend of anybody, if you say that you love somebody, let me tell you, you don't have 18 inches of space with them either. If you're a child of God and you know people who are not, especially those who think they are that are not, you have an urgent call on your life to love them enough to get uncomfortable and make sure that the true knowledge of Christ is what they hold to.
And again, I say amen, friends. Understand that it is the truth that sets us free. I know that you've heard that before, but so much of the scriptures call us to be reminded, call us to remember. Here it's Peter, who is telling the people, don't forget the word of God. It's through the word of God that you'll know the will of God. And with the word and the will of God, you'll be equipped to walk and do your warfare in the ways of God. Now, for many of us, if asked, we'd say, oh, I definitely want to thrive in this truth. And yet, if we're honest, there are times when we focus more on our excuses than on that which exemplifies a greater Christ-likeness. And again, I say to you, watch out for the wolves in sheep's clothing. At the same time, I want to encourage you to press into that which you've been promised. If you are a Christian, you have everything you need for life and godliness, everything you need to thrive to the glory of God, everything you need to embrace what God has called and created you to be. Now, I pray that you will overcome the temptation to shrink back or make excuses. I pray that this piece, again, from over 10 years ago, from 2 Peter 1:3-4, I pray it will bless you. It's to fulfill the promises of God and the purposes of God as the people of God. That is what it means to be the exemplifying of true biblical fruit.
Listen as we go further. It requires a true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, his glory and his goodness, he has given us his very great, the NASB says, magnificent and precious promises. He has given us promises. If you're a child of God, you have promises from God. These promises have been given so that, make no mistake, the promises you have, these are not cherries on top. These promises have been given to you per God so that, here's the purpose, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. If you're a child of God, your eternal life has already begun. You are already living in the divine nature. If you knew that, you wouldn't settle for trying to survive. If you're a child of God, you are already living in part, the divine nature. We have a family that's going to be going to Ethiopia to adopt a little boy. I want you to know that that little boy's world will not totally change until they get him back home. But the minute they pick him up and the papers are signed and it's legal, whether they're on African soil or up in the air on an airplane, that little boy is theirs. They are a family. It doesn't matter where they are. It may not be realized and seen in its fullness until they get all the way home. But once they get him, he's theirs. And I want you to know that while we may not recognize the fullness of what the divine nature is and what we have as children of God until we get to heaven, if you are walking with the King now, you are already one who has been given the promise and the power and the potential of living in the divine nature. Stop settling for surviving and start thriving. It comes down to what you want. When Jesus first encounters the disciples that would soon follow him, first words to them, looking over his shoulder, what do you want? Question to us. Knowing you can have this, the question is, do you want it? I hear so often, oh, Pastor Jeff, I do. I said, well, then take it. Wow, you don't understand. Oh, you don't want it. Yes, I do. No, you don't. There's nothing between you and that. Take it. Well, I can't right now. You don't understand the timing. Then you don't want it. Sure, I do. No, you don't. If you did, you would do it. I hear oftentimes about the excuses. If you're one that would say to me, Pastor Jeff, how dare you tell me what I want and what I don't want? You don't know what I want. If I say that I want God, but I can't right now, then you just have to accept that. Say, no, I don't. I'll call you a liar. Because God says, you can have all of me you want. And if you will be a child of mine, and if you say that you are, he says, not me, he says, you have everything you need for life and for godliness. So don't give me the excuses of what you don't have or why you don't have it.
Okay, so no doubt some of you might think, ooh, that's a little hard, but I pray that you see that when God has made a promise, if you and I don't embrace that promise, not only is it a form of unbelief, but it tends to weaken the faith of others. That's why it's so important that we confront the lies, whether they're coming from the deceivers, those wolves in sheep's clothing, or the lies that come from our own inner sinful flesh. You know, there are things like fear and doubt. They're lies. We're believing the lies. Remember, the facts always trump our feelings. And where and when there's a conflict between the facts of God and the faith and the fear and the frustrations of this world, it's always God in his word who can and should be trusted. Remember, you have received everything you need for life and godliness. This is the missional delivery of biblical fruit. Not only that you have received this miracle, not only that you get to carry this miracle, but that it's going to be in the context of a war. The vertical miracle is a part of the missional, and now, praise God, it's a part of the eternal delivery of biblical fruit. I pray that you realize that where and when God has said to you, Christian, that he's going to give you this vertical miracle and missional fruit, that he's going to call you to be an ambassador of this vertical miracle and missional fruit, that where he's made a promise, it is a guarantee. Amen. That the promises of God are your guarantees, Christian. And the guarantees of God, the guarantees of the gospel, the guarantees that reflect his glory are eternal. That the true delivery of true biblical fruit is a truly eternal delivery. That all of the promises of God are yes and amen. I pray on this day, as you come to understand the delivery of biblical fruit vertically, missionally, and now eternally, I pray that God feeds and fuels your soul. I pray that you feel the very fire of God igniting in you, an inferno of faith, as you say, I will be a true champion of my Christ and King, that his promises will literally be the guarantees upon which I live my life, no matter what. With that, I want to share with you how I closed that sermon 10 years ago. Listen to these promises that define in part the everything that you have received. Christian, if you are truly blood-bought, spirit-filled, set apart, a child of God, you have everything you need, and that's been delivered divinely. If you don't understand the divine delivery, you'll never be able to deliver the divine. So I pray these truths, not from my perspective, but from the very word of God, will bless you and build you to the glory of God.
Children of God, this Sunday, far better than any feel-good, pick-me-up, pom-pom message, there's no empty surface prosperity here. I give you the truth and the love of God's word. My 25 favorite promises that represent the everything that I need, that you need. I encourage you to go into God's word, find your favorites, write them down, hold them in your heart, walk with them every day, thrive with the King. And God's word says, John 11:25-26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Isaiah 1:10-14, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. John 14:26-27. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace, peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously, all without finding fault, and it, wisdom, will be given to him. John 14:1-3, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. James 1:12, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Acts 1:8, you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. John 11:25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Matthew 5, what we know as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted in the name of righteousness. Blessed. Ephesians 6:10-13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and it will, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Revelation 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, ecclesia, the called out people. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. James 4:7-8. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Three more. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all yours. John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we close this morning with John 8:36. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. If the Son has set you free, you are free. No more struggling to survive. If you are a child of God, you have received everything you need to thrive with the King. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, what a blessing it is to hold and to know and to live in the promise that it is to be an adopted child of God, to embrace the full gospel, the parts that people don't like, which are necessary to make it real. Thank you that you loved us enough, that you love us enough, and yet you will continue to love us enough to extend that nail-pierced hand filled with truth and love that is an effectual gift of grace that will bring with it eternal life with you, but only to those of us who truly want you.
Amen and amen. Now, I didn't finish that prayer because I want to close in prayer with you, but I pray that today the Lord has touched your heart, that you've come to realize that in the delivery of biblical fruit, that it first happens in a vertical miracle. And there we see the focus on both the grace and the gospel to the glory of our God, that you've come to realize there is a missional delivery of true biblical fruit, where the focus is on the lovers versus the liars. And it really comes down to that warning that says, are you going to worship God or the things of this world? And don't make excuses. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others. That where we're going to see the delivery of true biblical fruit, it will be vertical, it'll be missional, and then it will be eternal, that you saw here, that these promises are from God and they are eternal, that the focus is both here and heaven, the eternal delivery of biblical fruit. Friends, I pray that you see that in the understanding of the delivering of biblical fruit, that there are three primary deliverers of biblical fruit. First and foremost is Christ. Christ delivers biblical fruit. It is the muscle of the miracle maker, God himself, the muscle, the Holy Spirit, who delivers the first and the foundation of every biblical fruit. Secondly, Christ delivers. Then secondly, Christian, you deliver biblical fruit. You are a miracle. You are biblical fruit, and you are here appointed to deliver fruit, to literally bear much fruit, to deliver fruit. You, Christian, are here as means number two. And then thirdly, it is the church. Who delivers biblical fruit? Christ, Christian, and church. The Christ, the Christian, and the church. We are the means by which God is going to deliver his fruit to the world. This is the Great Commission. This is the proof of the Great Commandments. When we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will then go and love our neighbor as ourself, and we will make disciples of all the world, teaching them to obey everything that Christ commanded, in part to deliver and bear much fruit. That we will be those who understand Romans 8, 35, and 37 in particular, those who come to understand that nothing and no one can separate us from the love of God. When you received everything you need for life and godliness, you received with that the guarantee that nothing, no one can separate you, Christian, from the love of God. And in that truth, you find that you are, Romans 8, 37, you are that overwhelming overcomer in Christ, for Christ. This is the delivery of biblical fruit, that which no one and nothing can stop. Amen and amen. Oh, Lord, I pray that your people today have come to see that unless they understand the divine delivery of your biblical fruit, they will not be able to missionally deliver the divine fruit that you've called, created, and commissioned us to deliver. Lord, may your eternal delivery be fruitful, fruitful, that none of the people within the sound of my voice will live the unfruitful lives that represent dead branches that will be gathered and burnt. Instead, Lord, I pray that there will be a warm embrace, a worshipful zeal, a passion that cannot be stopped by your church who bears much fruit to your glory and as proof that we are the true children of God. Oh, we thank you for your amazing grace and your endless eternal love. Amen. And amen.